We all live our lives in service to others, whether we're single, married, parents, children, teachers, doctors, nurses, siblings, friends, employees, animal rescuers, or any other kind of volunteer worker. Sometimes our service is voluntary, and other times it's out of obligation. And these obligations affect our capacity to volunteer sometimes in the ways that we'd prefer. Let's think about why it is that we serve in the first place. Most of us were raised in religious communities or with the family values that equate service to goodness. Be a good neighbor, be a good friend, be a good Christian, and so on and so forth. Nearly all organized religions have written or unwritten morals or spiritual laws that, although they're worded differently, pretty much mean the same thing. Give of yourself, and you'll be rewarded. An example from Islam, from the Quran. And whoever does righteous good deeds, male or female, and is a true believer, such will enter paradise, and not the least injustice, even to the size of a speck on the back of a date stone, will be done to them. Some teachings of Christianity imply that it's not enough to just do good deeds, but each good deed you do should be surpassed by an even bigger and better deed. From Revelation 2:19, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. From renowned Christian children's author C.S. Lewis, if you do one good deed, your reward usually is to set out to do another, harder and better one. In Judaism, there is an ancient Hebrew phrase, tikkun olam, which means repairing or healing the world, which suggests that good deeds aren't just performed by one person for one person. They signify humanity's shared responsibility to heal, repair, and transform the world. For example, giving to the poor isn't viewed as a generous, magnanimous act. It's simply an act of justice and righteousness, and it's an important obligation in Judaism, a duty that cannot be forsaken even by those who are themselves in need. This is considered one of the highest of all of their commandments, and people who don't do this are considered to be idol worshipers. Some spiritual beliefs imply that if you don't give enough, you'll actually be punished. According to a quote from Amitabha Buddha, if you know enough to do good deeds, Yama will judge you and give you one lifetime of fortune. If you don't know enough to do good, you'll be punished and given one lifetime of want and pettiness. You think about it that way, it's like, goodness and fortune, pettiness, seems kind of obvious what choice you might make. Sometimes we serve because we believe it makes us better people. Other times we serve because we fear that if we don't, then no one else will. And if no one does, then someone will suffer. All of this is well and good, but there are times when it stops being good. And that's when the time spent in service to others supersedes the time spent on your own self-care. Many who volunteer in life are caregivers in some way, whether it's to a person or a responsibility to an organization. And they spend all their time seeing to the needs of others. And I get that there are some obligations in life that we have to tend to. But when did we, as a society, as a community, become so busy tending to everyone and everything to the point that we can't even sit down and enjoy a home-cooked meal with our families? That we can't sleep? That we can't take a nice hot bath, that we can't read a book just because it's a fun book. It has nothing to do with work or personal development. It's just a book. When did we start feeling the need to justify doing something nice for ourselves for no other reason than just because? Why do we feel guilty asking for time just for ourselves? And when we get that time to ourselves, why do we spend it thinking of better, more productive ways we should be spending that time? When did we all become fixers? And yes, men, and yes, women. Now, I want you to imagine how it would be if no matter what you accomplished, donated, shared, or contributed, you were enough and you were loved. Wouldn't it be better if the role models our children and youth looked up to were stellar examples of self-care, self-compassion, self-awareness, and self-respect, because they exemplified not only generous service to others, but also the importance of being well taken care of, energetic, and empowered. As Thomas Merton wrote, "The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of its innate violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit oneself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything is to succumb to violence. More than that, it's cooperation in violence. The frenzy of the activist destroys his own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of his own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom that makes work fruitful." So I'm not saying don't volunteer, don't serve, but I am saying that sometimes it's okay to say no. Giving of your time and your money should be something that makes you feel good, and it's great to keep doing so for as long as it keeps feeling good. But what happens when you're asked to help out with a new committee or plan an event or otherwise donate your time, and right away you feel a knot growing in your stomach? Physically, you feel it. You feel heat rising in your body. You feel your jaw and your neck start to clench up. What happens? It's your body. Your body is a powerful messenger, and it knows best. If something doesn't feel right physically, mentally, emotionally, and if the thought of adding another activity to your schedule makes you feel tired or drained, anxious or stressed, or if you get a physical symptom like a headache, feel nausea, whenever you think of more time spent away from your family or your personal interests, that's your body drawing the line. It's your body saying, "No, I'm done, no more." And if you ignore these signs, these valid feelings, and commit to the activity anyway, chances are that those feelings of stress will turn into feelings of resentment, or even worse, anger. And we certainly don't want that in a volunteer environment at all. So, wouldn't it just have been better for the entire group if you would have politely declined instead of bringing all of that negative energy into the work? That way, the members of the group could have found someone who really felt drawn and it really resonated with them to volunteer their time for that particular project or work. From a metaphysical perspective, like attracts like. The universal law of attraction, I'm sure we've all heard about it. The idea is that what you put out is what you get back. But it's not as simple as that. It doesn't apply simply to actions alone. It applies more to the nature of the thought and energy behind the actions. Positive, happy, kind, compassionate, loving thoughts sent out into the universe reflect back positive manifestations of that energy. And negative thoughts and energies sent out into the universe reflect back negativity. However, it goes a little bit farther than that. Negative thoughts, they don't just go out there and stay out there. It actually can build an energetic wall of negativity around you, which can then block more positive energy from entering your life. So, a seemingly positive act of service with negative thoughts and energies behind it, in reality, becomes a disservice. And when we care for ourselves first, we set ourselves up to make a positive impact on the people with whom we're working. The work flows more naturally and effortlessly, and the effects are maximized. So, what's one to do, you might ask? Take an honest look at your schedule and figure out which acts of service are the most meaningful to you and also which ones are the most time-consuming. Ask yourself if you're truly excited to participate in these, if the anticipation makes you feel light and happy and expanded. Or ask yourself if you're dreading going all day, if you find that you have to rearrange more pleasurable things in your schedule just to make room for this one activity that you're really not looking forward to for whatever reason. Listen to what your body physically is telling you and decide, keep it or let it go. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to decline. You don't have to explain why. Just do it politely, maybe delegate it to someone else, and fill that space with activities that you truly feel passion for, you truly feel drawn to. They make a fire of excitement grow in your belly. Makes you want to say, hey, I'm going to this meeting tonight, and I'm so excited. I have this great idea. I can't wait to contribute it. That's the kind of service opportunities you want to embark on. Not something that makes you feel like, oh, my God, I'm just going to go sit in the corner and hope nobody's going to call on me because I'm just exhausted, and I have to help the kids with their homework, and oh, my, that's not the kind of energy you want to bring into something like that. So I also challenge you on your calendar to schedule time for yourself. Time for family, hobbies you enjoy, fitness, sitting down to home-cooked meals, your own spiritual practice outside of this room, journaling, sleep, time with friends, alone time where you just spend time with yourself doing something you enjoy just for the sake of enjoying it. Doesn't have to be anything lengthy or extravagant. It can be as simple as just playing music you like while you're cooking dinner, taking an extra long bath or shower, knitting a sweater, watching TV, reading a book with a delicious cup of tea, putting on a silly song and just dancing like crazy to it for 5 minutes, practicing deep breathing for 5 minutes, go window shopping. Doesn't have to be a whole day that you devote. Of course, if you can, that's great, but most of us can't. So it's more about the act of doing something as often as possible rather than doing a whole lengthy, extravagant ritual that you can only commit to once a month. More frequently but shorter is more effective than less frequently and longer. So if you have so many volunteer items on your calendar that you don't have time to do simple, loving things for yourself, it's a clear sign that you're just doing too much. So just commit to 1 to 3 causes that truly resonate with you and say no graciously to the rest. Nobody's going to get mad at you. They're not. It's okay. Just do the best at what you've committed to, and it will not go unnoticed. It will be appreciated. You'll feel wonderful. Everybody else will feel wonderful. You know that saying, if mom's not happy, then no one's happy? Right? Yeah? That goes for everybody, not just moms. You're not serving anyone if your own basic needs and pleasures in life aren't first served. Unitarian Universalists believe that service is a form of self-care, but I also want to add that self-care is a form of service. So I'll leave you with some closing words from an article called The Spiritual Art of Saying No by Courtney E. Martin. You say no so you can say yes. It's sad in the way that all limitations are, but also liberating. You are human and finite and precious and fumbling. This is your one chance to spend your gifts your attention, and most importantly, your love on the things that matter most. Don't screw it up by being sentimental about what could have been or delusional about your own capacity. Have the grace to acknowledge your own priorities, prune, and survive.